look at how joyous Paul is in the middle of so many life and ministry setbacks. It's amazing, isn't it? He's so resilient. He's so vibrant and courageous and steadfast and undaunted. And it's not like he's ignoring reality. Like he's some sort of hyper annoying optimist, you know, always sugarcoating everything in life. No. He says, I may very well die here. He's utterly realistic about that and his suffering. And yet he's overflowing with joy.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're glad you're joining us today in our study of the book of Philippians. Now, Pastor Philip, this catches all of us off guard. Let me see if I got this straight. I'm in prison, I'm restrained, and I have joy. Did our listeners hear that right?
It is. It's mind-boggling, isn't it? Just, you know, Philippians is full of rejoicing and joy, and it doesn't make sense. I mean, Paul's having one of the worst months of his life. You know, he's been unjustly imprisoned. He's manacled to a Roman soldier. He's miserable. He has no money. He's nothing. Nobody's paying attention to him. You know, it's just suffering and undeserved. And you would think he'd be bitter and complaining and playing the victim card and like just all the things that we tend to do when things are going sour in life. But we hear from the heart of the Apostle Paul this joy that is brimming out of this deep well and place in his life that it throws us off. And Paul's going to show us the secret of where that kind of resilience and joy and bearing in life, where that joy comes from. That's what we're going to be talking about today.
Well, without any further delay, let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church as we explore what it means to live a life worthy of the gospel. This is part one of the sermon, The Basics of Life.
Can you see him in your mind's eye? The Apostle Paul. He's under house arrest in Rome. He's manacled to an imperial guard at his side. He can't go out for food or clothing or fresh air. He's at the mercy of his friends to take care of him. His church planting efforts throughout the Mediterranean have ground to a halt. There's a series of trumped up charges and legal shenanigans that have brought him to this moment. He's appealed to Caesar, but now he's waiting, stuck in an endless line of bureaucratic delays, and he has no idea how Caesar will rule in the end. Caesar might set him free, but then again, he might be executed. His very life hangs in the balance. And as if that wasn't enough, some other preachers out there have decided this is their moment, their opportunity to expand their ministry, to gobble up some ministry market share while he's out of commission. Just imagine what he must have felt, what he might have felt. Anxiety, depression, self-pity, helplessness, anger, bitterness. Might have felt like a victim, grown cynical, grumpy. But watch what he does. Philippians chapter 1, verses 18 to 30. Listen to these words. Philippians 1, 18. Yes, and I will rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in this flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. Thanks be to the Lord for the reading of his word. Look at how joyous Paul is in the middle of so many life and ministry setbacks. It's amazing, isn't it? He's so resilient. He's so vibrant and courageous and steadfast and undaunted. And it's not like he's ignoring reality. Like he's some sort of hyper annoying optimist, you know, always sugarcoating everything in life. No. He says, I may very well die here. He's utterly realistic about that and his suffering. And yet he's overflowing with joy. This man knows how to live. What's his secret? Don't you want to know? Talk to me. Do you want to know? Yeah. Now let's come back to this. At the very heart of this passage is an exhortation. I hope you saw it. It's down in verse 27. Paul says, I want you to live a life worthy of the gospel. Verse 27, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. He says, listen, whether I come to you or not, I want you to live a life worthy of the gospel. Now this phrase, worthy, has the idea of like equal worth. It evokes the imagery of a scale. In the ancient world, they would barter, and when they would barter, they'd have to weigh things in the marketplace. And so they'd have one of those old-fashioned scales, you know, that have, you put a control weight, 3 pounds on one side, and then you get 3 pounds of grain. And when it equalizes, when it is worthy of equal worth, then you know you've got the right thing. He says, if you take the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that in his love, God sent his son to live and die and rise again on our behalf so that we might be children of God now and forever. That gospel, you put that gospel in one side of the scale, and on the other side of the scale, you put your life. He says, I want you to live in a way that the scale balances. Proportionate, equal weight. In other words, the gospel is not just something we believe in, it is something we are to live out. If the gospel has its way in us, if it runs its course, if it does everything that Christ intends for it to do in our lives, it will lead to a kind of worthy life that will balance the scales, a life worthy of the gospel. Now, what would that look like? He has three descriptions here. Paul tells us it would look like standing firm in one spirit, established, resilient, unmovable. This is military language. It's a line of soldiers standing together, united for battle. I think he's looking at his imperial guards, and this imagery comes to his mind. With one mind, he says, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, like those Roman soldiers would lock their shields and advance together toward the enemy, pushing forward as one, side by side, unbroken ranks, pressing on, striving for the faith of the gospel. That's the picture here. Thirdly, not frightened in anything by your opponents. No flinching, no backing down. Courage, tenacity, fearless, so that even your enemies know they're doomed because you're unstoppable. The Spirit of God is in your midst and God is on your behalf. And if God is for us, who can stand against us? Victory and salvation are ours. Now, I don't know about you, but that's the kind of life I want to live. That's the kind of follower of Jesus I want to be. I want to stand firm in one spirit. I want to, with one mind, strive side by side with my brothers and sisters for the faith of the gospel. I want to be fearless against the pressures that will come our way. And as I was studying this week, I thought, boy, those are good objectives, good ideals, amazing principles. But Paul, I wish you would flesh it out a little more. I wish you would bring it down to earth. I wish you would make it tangible, visible for me. I wish you would just not just tell us what it looks like, but show us too. And then I realized that's exactly what he's doing. That's exactly what he's doing. As he processes out loud in this situation, he's exemplifying for us what it looks like to live a life worthy of the gospel. So he models it first and then exhorts it second. In fact, when Paul summarizes his statement in verse 21, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain," he is summing up what it means to live a life worthy of the gospel. "For me to live is Christ," he says. "Christ is my life. My life is Christ." Do you see the balance? Christ and my life, they're the same. To live is Christ. It's exactly what it means to live a life worthy of the gospel, of equal weight as the gospel. Christ is our life, and therefore to live is Christ. So these are the same thing. These are parallel, mutual reinforcing ideas. A life worthy of the gospel and to live is Christ. This is Paul's secret to having joy in the midst of hardship. This is his secret to standing firm. This is how he keeps striving for the faith of the gospel. This is how he is fearless before his opponents. He is living a life worthy of the gospel. So let's take a closer look now at Paul's example. He's gonna show us, he's gonna model for us what it is to live a life worthy of the gospel. It means three things. It means Christ becomes our reason for rejoicing, our purpose in living, and our meaning in suffering. Christ becomes our reason for rejoicing, our purpose in living, and our meaning in suffering. Let's go. It's all right here. First, our reason for rejoicing. 1:18, "Yes, I will rejoice," Paul says, "for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Notice his rejoicing here is a choice. You see that? "I will rejoice." In the midst of all of his troubles, he chooses to rejoice. It's not natural. He must choose it because God is still at work. Amen? No matter how dark it gets, "through your prayers," he says, "and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance." The word here for deliverance is the word, same word, for salvation. This will turn out for my salvation. He says, look, no matter what happens, in the end, this will work out for my salvation. Either I will be saved from these bonds and these chains, and I will stand in freedom in this life, or I will be saved from the bonds of this mortal life. And I will stand in the glorious freedom and life of the presence of Christ forever. Either way, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. I will live for his glory. Do you see this? It's what matters most to him. For me to live is Christ. What does that mean? Well, that means he's alive because of Christ, doesn't it? And it also means that Christ has become his life.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're glad you're here with us today as we reflect upon the gospel, and in particular, the book of Philippians. And we're talking about this fearlessness, this courage, this indomitable spirit, this joy that Paul has. And our listeners, I'm going to speak for our listeners. What's the source of that, and where do I get some?
Yeah, so, I mean, Paul is digging deep in the midst of personal suffering, hardship, persecution, and he's digging down deep into this ultimate reality. He says to live is Christ, to die is gain, which means for Paul, no matter what happens in his circumstances, he knows it's a win-win at the end of the day. If I keep on living in the flesh, if I win my case with Caesar, if I get vindicated, I get more time to do ministry and live out this calling of God, and that's a win.
Yes.
And if I lose and I get condemned and I face the death penalty, I get to be with Jesus, and that's a win. I get glory. I get to finish my race. I get to step into the arms of Jesus and hear, well done, good and faithful service. His servant. In other words, he realizes by life and by death, I am an untouchable soul, secure in the love of God, destined for glory, and nothing in my circumstances can take that away. Caesar can't touch me. The Romans can't touch me. Nobody can touch who I am and where I'm going. My life is hidden in Christ, and there's nothing that's ever going to be able to threaten that. And that deep root, that tap root of the tree of his life, that tap root has gone down into those gospel truths and realities, and it gives him an anchor and bearing in the storm as it blows. He can't be uprooted. He's so anchored down. That gospel reality is what gives him joy in the midst of the storm and everything that's coming. And that's the kind of gospel joy we need.
That's the kind of gospel joy we have. That's the incredible part. And here's where our listeners can be greatly encouraged. This isn't exclusive to Paul, is it, Pastor Philip?
No.
Right? What we're saying here is that even in your hardship, even in your situation, even in your limitations, I hope you're listening, God can use you there. Yes?
Yeah. And this is so much deeper than what we often hear, which is just sort of count your blessings and there's a silver lining to every dark cloud or something like that. This isn't just like cheery, cheap optimism in the face of the hardships of life. This is a kind of gospel lens that looks at the hardest things, deep suffering, deep pain, and recognizes in all of the hardness there's still something deeper that's more beautiful, that's richer, that cannot be touched, right? Even crucifixions turn to resurrections through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. And so we cannot be shaken by what happens. We might lose approval. We might lose our jobs. Circumstances might be hard. Our health might be challenged. There's lots of really hard, suffering things in life. But the deepest things, the most real enduring things, are ultimately secure in the hands of Jesus if we are in Christ.
Yes.
And that gives us a root for joy that cannot be touched.
Our adoption.
That's right.
Our acceptance.
Yes.
Our redemption.
Mm.
Our salvation.
Just keep going.
We're sealed. If we can remember those,
That's right.
We have cause for joy. Yes. And amen.
I want to ask you something, though. I mean, our listeners got to be thinking, he's talking about joy is going to give me courage to do these things. Pastor, life is hard.
Yeah.
We're facing real difficulties, right? Take a few minutes and let's just talk about joy and courage in that relationship.
Yeah. Well, if I know that who I am in Christ is unshakable, untouchable.
And it is.
No one can take it away from me. It is.
Yes.
If I know that's true, if I know that God is always for me, that he's never against me, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that Jesus has taken every amount of suffering and sin on the cross, he's taken my judgment away, then what that means is that any suffering that comes into my life is actually there to it's not punitive. God's not punishing me. He all the punishment I deserve, Jesus took on the cross. That means anything God allows in my life is ultimately there to purify me, to display his glory, that God is going to work all these things together for the good of those who love him, to conform us to the image of Christ. So I know that God is for me. He's not against me. And that means I can run to him. I can draw deeply from the resources of all that God is for me in Jesus Christ. I can depend on the Holy Spirit in the midst of no matter what comes my way. I can face real hardship, pain, difficulty, rejection, persecution. I can face whatever comes my way, knowing that God is with me. He'll never leave me, forsake me. He's always for me. He's going to use all of this pain, all these tears to ultimately make me like Christ and to reveal his glory to the world. It gives me a deep confidence that allows me to be joyous in the midst of what is really hard, and the courage to stand and to keep going and to not give up and to not flinch and cower, but to stand for Christ with joy in the midst of sorrow, in that when people are taking shots at you, like all of those things, if I run to Christ, there's a deep root of joy there that can strengthen my confidence.
This and unearned suffering, this redemptive value in unearned suffering is what you're talking about.
Yeah. And that God's with us every moment of that. I think that gives us enormous courage and enormous strength. And if we can lean into those spaces when we're suffering, or, you know, just take it down really practical, like people are mean, people, you know, don't treat you well because you follow Jesus. They look at you sideways. You don't get the promotion, or maybe just something that's very natural in life. You get cancer, or your kids don't want to talk to you, or whatever. Like all of those sufferings, there's a lot of hard stuff. But the joy is found in taking up that cross and trudging uphill anyway in the face of that suffering, because you've got something bigger you're living for. And the cross of Christ, the glory of the gospel, all that God's doing in your life, that's that bigger story. And when you remember that, you can remember joy.
Oh, be encouraged, beloved. Life certainly is hard, but there is redemptive value in unearned suffering. We're never left or never forsaken. God has promised that he'd never leave us, and he uses these things to shape us, to mold us, and to show the world what authentic Christians are like in the way that we respond to these vicissitudes and disruptive moments. It's a good word. We need these gospel truths found in the book of Philippians. That's why we want to offer this book, Be Joyful, by Dr. Warren Wiersbe. Have you ever noticed how worry robs us of peace and fulfillment? It's the greatest thief of all. But Paul, despite being a political prisoner facing execution, shows us how to stop worrying. And in Dr. Wiersbe's book, he unpacks how to cultivate a mind secure in Christ. When you allow the peace of God to stand guard over your heart and mind through Christ Jesus, it keeps worry out. And now, for a limited time, we're offering Be Joyful for a donation of any amount. To request your copy, go to livinghopeoffer.com. That's livinghopeoffer.com. Or call us at 1-800-215-5001. 1-800-215-5001. 215-5001. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.